This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Parker Millsap.
Maybe I'll have to walk through the fire, balancing on a razor wire. And I ain't afraid to weep, I ain't afraid to suffer.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I am very pleased to be speaking today and welcome to the studio today, Parker Millsap. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing great and feeling even better to get a chance to talk shop with you here on Musicians Spotlight. I will tell listeners right off the top, ParkerMillsap.com is the name of Parker's website. There's two L's in Millsap. And as well, the most recent recording is The Very Last Day.
That's it.
Okay. It has been quite a year for you from looking at the bio. If I'm not mistaken, we are talking about your television debut on Conan, invitation to play with Elton John at the Apple Music Festival, Austin City Limits, the Americana Music Association nomination for Album of the Year, as well as winning the International Folk Music Awards Artist of the Year, and great reviews from the New York Times, the Boston Globe, LA Times, Austin Chronicle, Rolling Stone, and many more. But that's not where I want to start. Where I want to start, I want to go back to Purcell. Purcell is a Purcell?
Purcell.
Purcell, Oklahoma, yeah. Which is where you're from. And let's just go right there, because I've never been to Purcell, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I'm assuming maybe some of our listeners have. Maybe but just few. Take us there. Tell us about Purcell.
Small town. It's about, I think it's between 6,000 and 8,000, depending on how much of the country you include in the town population. A lot of churches, a lot of good, sweet folks. It's pretty flat. A lot of oil derricks, a lot of cattle, a lot of trucks, a lot of red clay. A lot of pond fishing.
Okay.
That's what I think of. I think of Purcell. Yeah.
We're talking night crawlers, lures,
bobbers. Yeah, night crawlers. I would fish with those. Me and my dad would always fish with the little plastic worms, the little rubber worms, either the black or like the motor oil kind of green translucent ones. The ponds that we went to, those were pretty steady winners.
Oh, I think our listeners, particularly here in Montana, will find this interesting because, of course,
fishing
in general, but this is such fly fishing heaven that everybody wants to talk about flies, but, you know, it's not that way everywhere.
This is the pond fishing. It's funny, even in a creek or a river, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't catch a fish, but in a pond I can. Yeah. In a pond I can pull them in. I know how to fish a pond.
That's good. Like some of the, talk about the food. Like if you're going to recommend somebody.
A lot of unhealthy, but delicious food. A lot of dishes that I ate growing up. A lot of the recipes came from my great grandma's family. My great great grandma came to Oklahoma on a covered wagon in like 1901 or something. I actually knew her. She passed away when I was like eight.
Wow.
So there's like these kind of old recipes that I grew up eating, and a lot of them started with like half a slab of bacon, you know, and then you cook everything else in that. A lot of like chicken fried steak, white gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, and then like Creole style green beans, you know, kind of Southern food, but then also like a lot of corn and white bread because it's the Midwest kind of too.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Now, is this considered in, is Purcell considered to be in Tornado Alley?
Oh yeah. It's right in the middle. My aunt and uncle's house when I was younger got blown over, just destroyed. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Again, something listeners here in Montana are not as familiar with, except maybe on the eastern part of the state. But the tornado reality of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and you know they're really good at predicting them now, and everybody's got a TV with like five different stations that say they have the best radar. You know, so people are pretty warned ahead of time. But anyways. They're not as scary to me as earthquakes or something. You can't predict earthquakes.
They cover
a huge area. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, funny you should say that. We just had a fairly decent one here in Montana about three or four weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Ago. Yeah, pretty good size.
We were getting them in Oklahoma for a minute, and they kind of linked it to fracking.
I remember that.
And but nothing. I mean, nobody ever ended up doing anything about it as far as I know. But they're still happening.
I wanna feel that great atomic power when it yields that final fiery shower. Ain't no shield can save you in that hour, but I won't cower when that eruption lays us out to waste. Gonna clutch my heart and lift my face. Watch that mushroom rushing up to space. Gonna sing Amazing Grace. You know there ain't no ain't no reason being
It's the very, 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 very last day.
Parker, it sounded like you grew up in a household that had a pretty broad range of music, just playing, you know, in the house from your parents and your family and stuff. Talk about that a little bit and how that influenced you.
My dad was just always really into making cassette tapes and stuff. So he and one of his best buddies in high school, they would make mixtapes and weird ones too. Like, I've listened to some of them. It's, you know, speeches bleeding into like the Stones, bleeding into Bill Cosby. But anyways, he would do that. So he kind of like started collecting a bunch of strange music. My mom's always been into music and sings, and she like, she loves like Pink and Aerosmith, anything that's like over the top. She's there.
Nice.
But also Robert Johnson and stuff. So anyways, just kind of all over the map growing up, a lot of gospel.
That makes a lot of sense when I think about your material and think about your delivery and your style and so forth. It, a lot, maybe the Pink, not so much, but...
I love Pink too.
I do too, but I'm not necessarily something I hear in your style, but but maybe it is in its own way. You mentioned the church, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because I think it's the Pentecostal church, right?
Right.
And obviously a deep, rich history there. And for a lot of folks, I think they maybe are not as familiar with, and we don't need to go through the have you put you on the spot on a theological level here.
Not a theologian.
But just maybe talk a little bit about how that environment also had an influence on you.
Internally, there's like a whole slew of, that's maybe why I started making music. It's like, I got to connect to this, whatever, like playing music. A lot of the memories are deal with music for me, because by the time I was 8 or so, I was down in front like playing. I wasn't plugged in, nobody could hear me. I had a little acoustic though, and they would like let me sit up there and watch the other guitarists. There were two other guitarists, and watch their hands and learn how to play and learn, like, okay, when the capo's here and you're playing in G, that's in B flat, you know, things like that. And so I learned to play with other musicians, playing a lot of hymns. We had these hymn books that the guitarist had taken and written in the chords and pen over the piano, over the actual piano notation. that we played from. And so that's a lot of it, but also just getting to play music for an extended period of time with other people. You kind of learn how, when you're playing with a group of musicians, it becomes this machine and this kind of working for the greater good, connecting with the ether. Anyways, yeah, it made me privy to that possibility. Like, you know, you can take yourself out of this with music.
We're rolling. Let's roll it. I was losing. I was lost. Cursing everything that I come across. I was wounded, I was weak. I didn't realize I needed a drink of your water. Your water. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul. I was busted, I was broke. Drowning in the darkness and starting to choke. I was struggling, I was stranded. But then I bent down and cupped my hands in your water. Your water. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul. I was fumbling and frustrated. I was sluggish and sedated. I was wounded, I was wasted. I was bound up until I tasted your water. Your water. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Parker Millsap. Parker, this is kind of becoming a stock question for me, but I always enjoy hearing what folks say. Is there something that is uniquely Purcell about your music?
Ooh. I think the real answer is that there are two members of my band, that's half of the band, are from Purcell.
Okay.
My bass player and I, Michael, have been playing together since I was about 13 and he was 15 or 12 and 14, something like that. He's 2 years older than me. And he's at the hotel right now. We've been playing together for a really long time. So, and we both grew up there. So I don't know what it is from the outside. I can't say what it is exactly.
Well, you said there were two things, one being the members of the band.
Oh, I meant.
Oh, the two things were the two guys.
The two guys. There's two guys out of the four guys in the band from Purcell, so that makes it at least a half Purcell band.
Yeah.
It's pretty Purcell for any band.
Parker, having talked to you about your guitar playing and your relationship with the guitar, I also had to talk to you about your singing, and because that's obviously one of the things that you're really well known for, and rightly so, a fantastic singing voice. So my question, and this is another stock question now for Musician Spotlight, at what point did you first realize when you opened your mouth and sang that you were really connecting with people?
I don't know.
And this was became something like, okay, I'm going to maybe pursue this.
I think, honestly, I pursued music from a guitar standpoint for a long time before singing was at the forefront. Mm-hmm. But I can still answer questions about singing. A lot of my first memories with singing are in church, even prior to guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Congregational singing in church. It's amazing. Singing the same song with like 200 other people in the same room. If you've never been to church and done that, it's worth going just for that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to stay for the service. Get out of there. Just go for the music. So that and learning what voices sound like when they're not processed or, messed with or edited. It's like, no, this is what this lady actually sounds like. This lady who's singing like 100 decibels and screechy, singing that soprano part in your ear, that's what it really sounds like. And it's thrilling, it's very human. So hearing a lot of just natural, unadorned voices singing, I think it's kind of unique now because most people consume music through recorded music, which has all been edited and made to be, perfect in whoever's eyes was making it and all this stuff. But there's something about just going for it that's visceral. Mm-hmm. And like, it's really attractive to me. Yeah.
So it was, you would say it in the church is when you first got that experience?
Mm-hmm. And I can't say a specific moment, okay. But just every Sunday morning and Sunday night.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Raised me straight and raised me true. Spent my days becoming you. Sunday morning, evening too, sitting in your second pew. Torn apart, my spirit spent. Fell in love on accident. I wondered just what Jesus meant when he said all of I don't need a preacher, I ain't some kind. my hardest not to be. I locked the door and I broke the key. Jesus died up on that tree. Daddy, do you think it covered me? Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in His sight. Why can't I sleep through the night? Daddy, do you think I've turned out right? He sought me and with His blood He bought me. Daddy, you're the one to claim that He loved me through the flame. Now I can't you do the same? Well, I've been born again, but I first was born in sin. Did you love me then? Did you love me?
Parker, one of the things that I came across in reading an interview with you, and I believe it was Brian D'Ambrosio, maybe for the Mazzillion, was the idea of really working towards goals. It seems like such a simple thing to, such a simple concept, but it's one I can relate to myself. And, and one of the things that it seems like, you know, everybody makes goals, but to be really deliberate about it. So I wanted to ask you about that and see where you're at with that.
I mean, for a long time, the goal was, can I not have to work a real job, you know? And that started working, and the goal was like, can I move out of my parents' house? So I did that, and I mean, really, I get to play music and eat and live because of it, and that's kind of, I can't ask for anything more than that. I already feel extremely blessed, but as far as goals, the goal is to just keep getting to do it. That's, it's kind of its own reward. So I just want to keep doing it.
And is that something that applies to your, you know, life in a broader sense?
Yeah.
Other than music?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just, I love the people that I'm, that I play music with, that I have in my life. And I just, I want to keep doing that. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe that sounds lame or not ambitious, but it's, I just, I really like doing it.
No, not at all. And it kind of brings me full circle back to where we started with all these incredible things that have happened. In the last year, on the one hand, I would imagine it's incredibly rewarding. Is that a lot to happen? And I don't know if all that stuff happened within a year.
I mean, it's,
let's just start with Elton John.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Honestly, a lot of the things that have happened, I mean, certain things mean more to me than others, but things like Elton, every once in a while, so I've hung out with him maybe like 3 times now, and he's always extremely generous and he's just the coolest, but every once in a while, he'll call me, and it's always from a like 000000 number, you know, and it just makes me really happy, you know. And what? Like last time he called me, I was mowing the lawn, and I was like,
oh my God,
listening to my music in my you know, little earbuds and mowing the lawn. And then it rang, and then it was a weird number. But now I've learned, like, if it's that weird a number, you have to answer it, because maybe it's him. And I didn't. Hello, Parker. You know, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm just mowing the lawn. What are you doing, Elton?
Oh my God.
And honestly, it's just like a boost. I don't know why. And when he calls me, we'll talk for like 3 minutes. And it's just like, hey, what's up? Just checking in. Hope you're good. Here's what I'm up to. Bye. But every time it happens, it's like, yeah, that'll get me through a little while. Yeah, that doesn't get old.
How did that all come about? I'm just curious.
Roseanne Cash somehow got a copy of my last record. and was hanging out with Elton, because that's what I guess famous people do, is they just hang out. And gave him a copy of the one of our LPs, mm-hmm. and that's how it happened. And then months later, maybe more than a year later, he invited me over to London to do this gig with him, so we did that. And then I got to go to Vegas recently and write some songs with him. It really happened.
Write songs with Elton John?
We wrote songs in Elton John style, which is that you bring lyrics, put it in front of him, and then he's like, okay, I'll come up with the music. And then, we did that. I had two sets of
lyrics.
So
you played the part of Bernie Taupin, essentially?
Kind of, for like a day. Yeah, for one day. We got two demos of songs done. It was really... And he brought me out to Vegas to do it. He's just so generous and amazing. Like, I can't speak highly enough.
Wow. Well,
him and his whole crew is amazing, too.
That's a remarkable story. This other stuff kind of makes sense. Austin City Limits? Yeah, I'm thinking that makes sense. Yeah. Americana Music Association, International Folk Music, all that stuff makes sense. That's one that definitely stands out. That's
that
really
one's
cool.
That you can make a goal, like, I want to be on Austin City Limits, and you can seek specific things to make that happen. You know, you can, like, go play shows and get a booking agent and get a manager, and, you know, one day we'll do it. And so that happened. That's, like, a goal that we set that happened. But things like Elton just calling you can't...
While
like
you're
that,
cutting
you
the
can't,
grass.
Yeah, like, you can't prepare or plan or seek that, you know. Just have to be grateful when it happens.
Yeah, that's terrific. ParkerMillsap.com is the name of the website where you can find out more about what Parker is up to. Again, I will urge listeners to put two L's in Millsap, and you can find out there at ParkerMillsap.com what his latest project is with Elton John or Pink or Aerosmith.
Or working with everybody.
Yeah. It could be anyone. A lot of great stuff going on. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show and getting a chance to talk shop with you, Parker.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Walk through the fire, balancing on a razor wire. I ain't afraid to weep, I ain't afraid to suffer, I ain't afraid to be a fool to be a lover.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Parker Millsap. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online through Facebook as well as Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to Logjam Presents for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.